Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show. His name is Jacob Milham. He covers the Royals. We're happy to tell you guys that he will be on the show every Wednesday until the Royals are eliminated. Jacob, we are happy to finally have you be friend of the show, man. How are you doing today?
Ooh, man, that made my day, Carrington. I'll tell you that much. Ooh, I love it.
Absolutely, man. Let's just get started with this, man. I don't think people are maybe giving enough respect to Seth Lugo in the lens of that's one of the best road performances in Yankee Stadium history, what he did yesterday. And you and I, the last time that we talked, we asked the question, was Lugo starting to hit that ceiling? Was he getting to that point? I mean, his last three starts, he has a 0.86 ERA. And as this team is starting to head into more important games, they're going to need this version of Seth Lugo to continue.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is, and to be frank, for folks who don't know, Seth Lugo, he's kind of been a career reliever, right? Last year was his first real year as a full-time starter. So the Royals did take a gamble here, and it certainly looks like it's paying off right now. Now he's going to eclipse 200 innings, which is a lot in modern day baseball. And I was concerned. You know, he's getting a little bit of a weary arm as the season goes along. But then what does he do? He goes and pitches seven shutout innings against the vaunted New York Yankees. I know the East Coast media absolutely gobbled that up. But all in all, Seth Lugo is reestablishing himself as the top guy in this Kansas City Royals rotation, only to be possibly outdone by the man on the mound tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you really want to, like, if you want to dream big, so to speak, I think the pathway for the Royals is a very simple one. You have Reagans go in game one. You have Lugo go in games two. You win those both games if you end up being the wild card team. And then once you get into the dance, if you keep getting quality pitching performances the way that they have over the course of the last 2 weeks, you give yourself a chance against anybody. Now, I'm not super interested in playing the Yankees in the postseason. I also would want to avoid Houston as well, just given their track record. But I would be really confident if the Royals get matched up against Baltimore or Cleveland. They can beat either one of those teams.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have, and they've done so already this year. Houston is the interesting one because, number one, it looks like they're locked into that three seed right now. There's a pretty big gap between them and the AL East leader, whoever it's going to be, and the Cleveland Guardians right now. So if I had to bet today, I would bet that the Royals are traveling to Camden Yards to face off against the Baltimore Orioles, these are two very different teams between when they matched up last. Now that's looking well down the road, but I'd be looking at that as the probable wild card matchup, the 4 and 5 seeds and the Orioles and the Royals.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, I mean, if right now, if you're asking me, hey, you got to pick any one of the realistic playoff teams, which one would you pick? I would pick Baltimore. Is that who you would pick, or would you pick someone else?
Number one, I was early this afternoon. I was thinking, all right, I want to avoid the Houston Astros at all costs after that buzzsaw that the Royals ran into down in Houston not too long ago. But then I go and pull up Houston's schedule, right? They're so streaky, and I get it, MLB teams can be streaky, but the Astros are consistently streaky. Remember, this is the same team that the Royals swept in Kauffman Stadium earlier on this year, and now they're trying to avoid getting swept by the Oakland Athletics. So that's not striking a whole lot of fear into my heart, but I do think that the Royals match up better against the Baltimore Orioles, especially in Camden Yards. So I would certainly pick them over the Astros. I really think those are the only two realistic opponents for the Royals at this point.
Right now we're talking to Jacob Milham, friend of the show. He is going to be on the show every Wednesday between now and the end of the Royal season. Catch him on the Royal Rundown pod. He also does great work with Kings of Coffin. We'll let him tell you more about that at the end of it. Jacob, if you had to guess, how many wins are the Royals going to need to win the division?
To win the division and get over the Cleveland Guardians, it is, number one, that, man, that seven-game losing streak really just made a cavernous divide between them. We all know that, though. I think the Royals have to win 10, 11 games, but that also coincides with the Guardians posting a losing record over the remainder of the season. They have 17 games left on their slate. So I would think they would have to go 7-10, 8-9 for the Royals to have a realistic chance. And I don't know if the Guardians' schedule really warrants that, right? Like today they're finishing up a series in Chicago against the lowly White Sox. And just looking at the remainder of the month, there's not a whole lot of, well, I take that back immediately. They have four against the Twins and three against the Astros. So maybe if they stumble in those series, maybe the division is more realistic. I would give the Royals about like a 10% chance of winning the AL Central. A lot of things have to line up.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is right now on FanDuel, the Royals over under on wins is 88.5. You would have to think that they have to get to 90 wins if they're going to catch Cleveland. I mean, right now Cleveland has 83 wins. So even in that scenario where you mentioned it, if they go 7-10, that gets them to 90 wins. I just don't think you're winning the American League Central with 86 wins, 87 wins. You're going to probably have to win 90 or 91 in order to win the division.
Yeah, I think 91 is that sweet spot, Carrington. I think that's what both teams need to be down right now. You know, the Guardians, that gives them eight wins, or excuse me, that gives them only an 8-9 record over the remainder of the season. But you know, just a lot has to go right for the Royals. I would personally take the under on that bet. If you're asking me, I think they're going to finish with about 88 to 87 wins, which is still great. It's still respectable. Don't get me wrong, but it's not going to win the AL Central, especially when you have the Minnesota Twins in the wild card. And also you have the Detroit Tigers only three games back behind the Twins right now.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham for a couple more minutes here. He's going to be our Royals insider, our bonus Royals insider for the rest of the season. He's going to join us every Wednesday. Which one of the new additions offensively do you think have provided the most value for this team? You look at Paul DeJong. He's been really good for this team. Tommy Pham has been really good over the last couple of days when they picked him up from waivers for the St. Louis Cardinals. A lot of the moves that this front office made have really worked and have really given this team a push in the second half of the season. Which one has been your favorite?
My favorite has to be Tommy Pham. I was, for anyone who's listened or read my reading, I did voice my concerns over, hey, this is a guy we've heard about, some of the locker room stuff. It's a known thing for many years. But to his credit, he did admit that he hates losing. All right, and that is what the Royals locker room needed right now. He's the guy that's going out there in the leadoff spot day in, day out, setting the table for Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. And frankly, he's doing a good job, all right? He's hit safely in six of his last nine games, got a 308 OBP, four extra base hits. Like, it's not amazing stuff out of the leadoff spot, but it is still much, much better than what the Royals had before he came in. So I am very, very pleased with Tommy Pham.
So we've been asking this question to our Royals guys, and I want to ask you this same question. We asked it yesterday to Joel Goldberg. Let's say that it is game one of the wild card series. They are on the road and they are playing Baltimore. It is a 5-4 game. It is heading into the seventh inning. So the Royals got nine outs left. How are you handling the final nine outs of the game?
Man, you would have made it really easy, Carrington, if you just said the ninth. That's a doozy, I ain't going to lie. It is, number one, this bullpen, there's no sure thing coming out of that pen right now. It is so disappointing. But if, let's see, wild card, game one, you said, right?
Yeah, game one.
Man, game one. I would. This is a little bit of a doozy. I would have to start off with Chris Bubich if the lefty matchup is there. Then this is where it gets a little tricky. I would go Brady Singer in the eighth.
Oh wow!
In a three game series, I don't think Brady Singer is going to start game three. Not saying he doesn't have the talent, but his stuff and his arsenal matches up so much better in a relief role. That is what I believe. But him setting the table for Lucas Erceg in the ninth, I feel confident seeing that come out of the pen. I really do right now. So Bubich, Singer is the curveball there, and then Lucas Erceg in the ninth. Because frankly, Carrington, like who else would you put in that third role other than Singer?
I mean, that's a really good question. I hadn't really thought about it, but you're right. I mean, if you're not going to use him as a starter, and I mean, winning these three games is all that matters at this point. We can deal with Thursday when we get to Thursday, but we got to deal with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Singer in the eighth inning to fix a lot of their problems does make a lot of sense.
I don't know if manager Matt Quatrero feels the same way or not. I would feel most comfortable seeing him come out of the pen. Sam Long has been a great buy low acquisition, a minor league deal, and now he has been one of the linchpins of this bullpen. But he's kind of waned a little bit recently. Daniel Lynch, I really prefer him in that multi-inning role. There's a couple other guys, but all in all, I have questions and concerns about nearly everyone coming out of this bullpen right now. So why not toss out Brady Singer?
All right, last thing here, Jacob, for people that want to hear more Royals content from you, where would they go?
Listen, you can find the Royals Rundown podcast wherever you get your podcast. Me and Jeremy Greco are actually about to record the podcast here in about 30 minutes. That'll be coming out tomorrow morning. Plus, you can go and support the team over at Kings of Kauffman, myself, Mike Gillespie, and a few new faces are over there talking about the Royals every single day. So you can go check me out there.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacob, the only other question I want to know before we make this thing official, are you a Dippin' Dots guy?
I am a Dippin' Dots guy.
You know what,
I
Jacob?
I really am.
You know what, Jacob? You are right with me, man. You can come back next week, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, I like it. I like it, Carrington. Thanks for having me on, sir. Appreciate it.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.